Well, good morning. Let me add my welcome to that which hopefully you've already received from a number of people. We count it a privilege, we truly do, to be able to gather with you like this and just to worship the Lord together. And now we come to that time to hear from God through His Word. And so welcome. Welcome as we just experience and grow in all God would have. And to do that, let's jump in. We're going through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. So go to Ephesians, and we're at chapter 4. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. As you're turning there, Tim mentioned, just to mention what he already said, but just to drive it home, in fact, that a number of our ladies are at the women's retreat this weekend, so that's why we're a little bit light attendance-wise in that regard. I got a text from Kathy this morning, in which she said it's been a really great retreat, and that's good to hear. We pray for much fruit from all of that. But excited to see how God's doing around here. God's at work there, and God's at work here, and we can be sure of that. So let's see what we have for us. Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. You probably noticed and learned along the way that someone's physical age in years does not necessarily mean maturity. Have you learned that? Just because someone has a number of years that they've lived, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are mature in other ways. This morning we're going to consider spiritual maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 7. I'm going to read the whole paragraph here, then we'll jump into a part of it. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Our text this morning rotates around, revolves around, has a big part to do with growth. And we're going to see, of course, speaking of spiritual growth. This particular paragraph begins pointing out that the Lord has given gifts. And he mentions four particular gifts, ministerial gifts, callings. He speaks about the fact that he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And our last time together, we saw that he gives those offices, those callings, for the purpose, it says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, that's all believers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we're called to step up that we might grow up. We're called to be built up, but that growing up, that maturing is going to take place in a specific context, as we're going to see, and that Paul sets before us. What is the goal in all this? This equipping, this edifying? And how does it all work towards that goal? What's God's goal for the body of Christ, the church? Last week we looked at equipping for the work of the ministry. This morning we look at growing up. And really, look at verse 16 at the very end. It says, causes growth of the body for the edifying, that means to build up of itself in love. That's our focus for this morning. It's all about growing up in God's love. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that in you, You have poured out upon us such love. You've reached down, and for each one to receive, Lord, you've changed our whole destinies. We can sit here knowing we're heaven-bound, forgiven of our sins. But thank you, Lord, that we're not saved to go on the shelf, but that began this awesome growing, spiritually growing, discovering our purposes in you, maturing in you. Lord, search our hearts. Help us to make sure we're doing just that, that we're not coming short of all you'd have. Lord, speak to us this morning of how this whole growing thing works. Lord, I do want to stop and pray for the wrap-up time there at the women's retreat. Praying, Lord, just kind of bring it all together, Lord. Then give everybody a safe trip back, Lord. And in particular, let there be fruit unto you from it all. But Lord, as we pray for them, we pray for ourselves here also. Move in our midst, Lord. Help us grow in all you'd have for us. Thank you, Lord. Your work. Our great need, Lord, is to let you. May you find us an open, hungry group of people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's dig in and just see what God would have for us. Go back to verse 13. We're going to jump in at that point. Right before that, he talks about those ministerial offices that were given for the purpose of equipping the believers for the work of the ministry. To what end? That we'd all be built up, grow up. So edifying means to be built up in the body of Christ. But now verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here we see this work that God wants to do doesn't apply to just some of us, but it says until we all come to this place. It's for every believer. So this applies to each of us, including you, if you receive Christ. And there's to be a unity. It says we're to be growing till we all come to this unity. And notice two parts of the unity. First of all, it says there would be amongst the body a unity around the faith, the unity of the faith. The word faith there doesn't mean the individual faith we might have as we exercise faith to receive Christ or whatever. But this is the faith, meaning that body of doctrines and biblical truths and all that we believe. It's God's word. So we're to have a unity together around God, around his word. But notice this, it's not just that, but also, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, the word knowledge there is the word, the Greek word that means experiential knowledge. So this is to be a unity around not just a head knowledge, but around God's truth of his word, and then the results of that in our lives as we experientially know him better and better. To what end? What goal is God's word and knowing him better and better supposed to result in? What's supposed to be going on? What's there's supposed to be a process, he says. Namely, to be growth. He says, to a perfect man. Perfect means mature. We're to be maturing. Again, towards what? What am I growing towards? What's a mature believer supposed to look like? What will our life be characterized by? What does it look like? He tells us. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Someone growing in the Lord is going to look more and more like Jesus. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he, the Lord, foreknew, being about us, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's a verse that basically says, God desires to mold and shape our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. That what will maturity, spirit, what does spiritual maturity look like? It look like Jesus. Do we ever arrive perfectly in this lifetime? No, of course not. But don't use that as an excuse to go on hold. But rather, we're to keep growing is the calling. We're to be maturing. And what we're going to, if we are, what it will look like is more and more like Jesus. So a crucial question that we need to begin with this morning, and I just set it out there for you to consider, are you? Are you and I growing in the Lord? Or would you have to say, I'm pretty much where I was this time last year, spiritually? Are you the same place? Maybe you've known the Lord for years, but if you really stop and look at it, you say, you know, I think I'm pretty much where I was 10 years ago in terms of really knowing the Lord, growing in the Lord, becoming more like Jesus. See, we were saved, again, not to go on the shelf, but to come back into relationship with Him, that we might grow in Him, know Him better. We're to be maturing. We're to be growing up is the call. Now, some of us might say, yeah, I think I'm growing in the Lord, but unfortunately what we look to is a litmus test is if we have more knowledge, simple head knowledge. Well, yeah, I went to a Bible study this last year. I learned some really cool things from the Bible. So, yeah, I would say I'm growing. Be careful you don't just look at just head growing, knowledge, growing in knowledge. Because it's meant to result in relationship growth, spiritual maturity growth in our lives. And so, again, the question, are we more spiritually mature today than we were a year ago? 10 years ago, 20 years ago, depending on how long it's been. Unfortunately, too many would have to say, nope. May this morning challenge us and encourage us not to settle, but to really be growing continually in the Lord. Can you say you know Jesus better, not just about Him, but you know Him better than you did at some previous point? Verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That we should no longer be children spiritually, he says. We're to be maturing. We're to be growing up spiritually, rooted in the Word, growing in this experiential knowledge of Him, maturing, becoming more and more like Jesus as His love and all works in us and through us. And that a product of this will be that we won't be children. We won't stay as children anymore spiritually, but we will grow up. And so in love, I'd say what Paul is basically saying is it's time to grow up. The call is to make sure we're growing spiritually, to not stay a child spiritually. I was thinking about what marks children compared to adults, because it says we're to be no longer children. Well, what marks the difference between a child and an adult? For some, not much, but the point being, there should be, isn't there? If you talk about growing physically or mentally or just, you know, learning things along the way. But think about it. What kind of thing? What are the differences? First of all, one thing that's different, hopefully, about the difference between a child and an adult is a child is very easily distracted. In general, you get a little child playing with something and you want to distract it, what do? You shake some new gadget or some shiny thing, and they want to check that out. You can distract them. You want to drop something, you just go, here, look at this. And they're over checking this out. See, children get bored easily. And they're always looking for some new experience. And they're easily distracted. Well, that's what can mark a spiritual life that's remaining as a child. Easily bored, easily distracted. Always after some new glittery thing. Oh, there's some new thing happening over at this church. Some new thing going over there. Now, of course, teaching should always have a certain amount of life to it, some good illustrations, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're a babe in Christ, a young child in Christ, you fall more for that. Oh, there's some new pop bang thing going on over at this one. Let's go see that. Oh, look at that. Always being out to some new experience, some glittery thing. That's what marks a child. But we're supposed to grow out of that and recognize that that's not what we need if we're going to grow. I don't need glitter and pop and bang. I need God. I need to know Him. I need His Word. But a child is easily distracted. Another thing that marks a child is children certainly do not like discipline. I'm not saying we like it as adults either, but we learn the importance of it. But children hate being told no. They can throw a great tantrum. Do you throw spiritual tantrums when God says no? When God tries to bring some discipline in your life, but hey, let's get some devotional time. Oh, I don't want to do that. Let's spend some time in prayer. Oh, it's boring. See, it's a good litmus test. Am I like a child spiritually? Time to grow is the call. What are some other things that mark children? If you offer a child, okay, would you like some cotton candy? A Hershey bar? Or would you like some broccoli? Almost every child would say, give me the broccoli, bring on the spinach. No. Are we like that spiritually sometimes? Again, give me something new and something that kind of panders to the emotions or the flesh, some new exciting thing. Be careful. That's the mark of children, of being a child, of being very young. But we understand that while we may not be wild about the taste of carrots, we need them. And they're important for our growth. The difference we're talking about between children and adults. It says, don't be children any longer, but grow. And what's the warning if you don't? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Because a child can be duped easier. A child can be swayed into something that's not healthy, not going to get them anywhere good. And so there's that direct warning. The Lord doesn't want us falling prey to all the false junk that goes on out there, every new little philosophy that comes down the pike, some popular gimmick that seems to be in vogue at the particular time. I think back upon how many spiritual fads I've seen over the years. Oh, there's this new thing going on. And people flock here and they flock there, but in the end it's all shifting sand. And what a waste of time it was, spiritually, for their lives, for their spiritual lives. It wasn't what they needed. It was just, it appealed to the senses or something. Time and again we see it. So he says, I don't want you falling prey to that. But notice, in what setting does this growing up, this protection take place? It takes place as a function of us being active in the body of Christ. We're going to see this is all about finding and being our part, the body of Christ. And this protection against being duped and all takes place in the body of Christ as we function as our part of the body. It's much easier for the enemy to pick off a soldier who's wandered away from his unit. It's easier for the enemy of our souls to pick one of us off if we become a lone ranger. But together, there is that prayer, that encouragement, that checking things out. Hey, what have you been studying? What have you been reading? What do you think of this? Somebody said. There's just all that comes with traveling together. And that's what he's getting it home here about, trying to drive home. You do know that there's an enemy of our soul that's out to get us, right? And while he can't take our salvation, he can take away our growth, our maturity, our peace, our joy. There's an enemy, and he has a whole cohort that help him. And there's people out there who are seeking to dupe you, to trick you, because they want to make merchandise of you. They want to use you to gain power over people and use your money or whatever they might be after. This is a newsflash, but we need to make sure we remember that. Be they teachers at school or college, be they co-workers, be they politicians, don't go there too far. Don't be duped. Just because someone has a series of letters behind their name doesn't mean they have the truth. Well, he's a professor, it must be so. No. Be wise, be mature, don't be as a child. He's saying, because he talks about, don't be tossed to and fro by everything that comes along. It's like the idea of little ships, little boats on the water getting bounced all around by the wind. He's saying, don't let that happen. Throw your anchor out, throw your anchor into Jesus so you don't get knocked all around. Grow together is encouragement. And so I would just simply ask you, is it time for you to no longer be a child spiritually? If you looked at it, we'd say some of those descriptions of being a child, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Or you know what, I think I am the same place I was years ago. Is it time to quit being a child spiritually? I don't care how good somebody looks when they come to your door. Yes, they got nice white shirts and a tie on, but they're trying to deceive you. They've been deceived, now they've become deceivers. And the same again for everybody. So many people out there, they're trying to dupe us. Don't fall for it. Instead, grow. You know, a baby is cute at 6 months, huh? But you show me a man that's 30 years old drooling and looking for his bottle and throwing fits, and they're not cute anymore. Make sure we're growing. Verse 15, the contrast. Instead of being a child, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We're to grow. Well, again, grow up into what? What does growing up look like? Grow up into who? What's it say? Into Jesus. And what's it say about Jesus? That he is the head. He is the brains. Paul loves the analogy of a physical body applied to the body of Christ. And that we all have our part in this body, but Jesus is the brains of the outfit. He's the one in charge. He's to call the shots. Again, a child doesn't like that, huh? I don't want to. I want to do my thing. You can't make me. But as we grow, we understand the need for, in this case, our spiritual head, our spiritual leader. So, again, the goal in growing up, becoming like Jesus. We're growing into Jesus. And now verse 16. I'm going to camp on this for a few minutes here. From whom? From Jesus. The whole body, the body of Christ. That's just an analogy saying every believer, we're part of this body of Christ. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What causes growth? Every part doing its share. That's just how God designed it. That's just how it is. Leave your Bible ribbon right there or your bulletin and turn to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I debated whether I was going to read this or not as I was studying for our time this morning. But the more I read it, I saw, you know what? I can't say it any better, that's for sure. What we're going to read right now, I'm just going to read it basically, make a few comments. But let Paul just, he's going to go back to this analogy of the body, the physical body, being like the body of Christ. But let's remind ourselves, it's very pertinent to our time together this morning. But look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Everybody there? Good. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. What's he saying? One body, many parts of the body. And yet all these parts make up one body. Same for the body of Christ. One body of Christ, many parts in that body. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. In other words, it's one body, but it has many parts. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. I have a different place in this body, the body of Christ, than you do. But all of us have a place in that body. And you might think like, well, I don't really see my gifts. I don't know where it is. You have callings, giftings. Every part has its, every part of the body has a part there. And notice this. It says God puts us in the body, he says, where he pleases. It's not arbitrary, the giftings we have, but they're necessary. Every gifting necessary. And we're going to see it's for all of us that we need to seek and discover those places. So it's by design. He put us in the body. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If we're all just an eye or a hand or something, you got to have every part. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Put your name in there. Pete can't say to Bill, I have no need of you, is the idea. If your name's Peter, Bill, I'm not picking on you. But that's the idea here. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. What part of your body is most important? Well, it must be, and then you put it out there. It's the heart. Okay, your heart's the most important. That means that you don't need your lungs, right? We'll just give it to the lungs, just live on your heart. Well, no. The heart's got to have some blood to pump around. The blood's got to have oxygen in it. Okay, so you need those two parts. Yeah, what's more important? They're both are important. You got to have both. Well, maybe we'll skip the stomach. No, I need the stomach. I need nutrition. See, and we start valuing, every part. And in a healthy body, every part's needed, and every part is needed to be healthy. That's what Paul's trying to drive home. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Schism means division. Since we need one another, since we're there to help and encourage and grow together, we're to be on guard. And he talked about this back in the earlier part of Ephesians 4, that the first thing that marks this walk worthy of our calling is unity. And he said you're to keep that unity, guard the unity. Be careful of schisms, divisions. Well, I don't like the way they dress. And I don't like the kind of music they like. And all of a sudden, we become, all this division gets in there. The hand saying to the foot, I don't like the way you look. I'm not going to be part of this body. Hopefully, we see the silliness of that. We all have our place. It's all by design. And we're to avoid things that divide us in the greater body of Christ. And notice here that we should have the same care for one another. If we're all part of this body, if we understand the link that God has designed us to share together, then we should care for one another, pray for one another, touch base with one another, give the other one another a call. How can I pray for you? How's it going? That's part of how this thing is supposed to work. We're to care for one another. This is your body. Hopefully, it cares what the rest of the body's doing. Interesting. You can get an infection in your finger at first, doesn't seem to matter. After a while, it starts hurting. If you don't do anything about it, pretty soon it's infected, and pretty soon your body's got a big problem. And that's only, it started out, it's only like one little teeny part of my body. The rest of me's fine. But that matters, doesn't it? And all of us matter in this. We need to be active and need to be healthy. Because look at verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We're all the body and each have our part. And you matter to this whole thing. It's important that you actively pray for and seek your part in the body. It matters. Lone Ranger Christians are setting themselves up for struggle, and it impacts all of us when you do that. We're all going to miss out. We need one another. That's just how he's designed it to be. The formula for a healthy, growing body is every part its share. Go back to Ephesians 4 now. Go back to Ephesians 4 passage. Every part, whatever joint, everything knit together, supplying, according to the effective working, the working together effectively, by which every part does its share. Every joint supplying, effectively working. That's to describe what we're to do. I began our time last week to talk about how a football team isn't designed so that the players sit on the bench and watch the coach go out all by himself and try to play the game. That's not how it's designed. The coach is supposed to be on the side cheering the team on, but the team goes out to play. So the call was, get in the game. Well, this week, let me add to the football analogy a little bit. We do have some ladies here today, but hopefully, you know, a lot of the ladies. I thought this worked for the guys well, you know, but we all follow the basic idea here. But just picture this, if you would. Let's say the football team realizes, hey, it's not the coach's job to play, it's our job. Let's get out there. So the team rushes onto the field. Mitch, like maybe you've heard the call. You know, I need to get going. So we team rushes onto the field, and they huddle up. And they huddle. But finally, the referee blows his whistle and calls a penalty, delay of the game. He moves them back 5 yards or whatever. And they huddle up again. And they huddle. And whistle blows again, delay of game. And he moves them back again. They huddle up, whistle, huddle up, blow. And then pretty soon they're backed up to their own end zone. All they're doing is huddling up. And finally the coach yells out, "What are you guys doing? When are you going to turn and play?" "Oh, coach, why would we want to do that? We love huddles. This huddle's cool. There's some great guys in this huddle. There's a guy in here, he's memorized 100 different plays. I like hearing from him." Be careful. Huddling is part of the football game, but it's not the goal of the game. What's the huddle spiritually? All the things that we could sometimes get into and think that's it. Things like fellowship and all together. It's awesome to get together in fellowship. But if all we do is stay in the huddle here, see that? The goal isn't to huddle, it's to go grow. Spiritually, it's to grow. Get out there and go and grow. One commentator put it this way. He said, "Beware of the holy huddle. Beware of just having your spiritual life just be about huddling together with other believers and staying just there. It's time to say break and go. Get active, serve, grow. Beware of the holy huddle." This whole section kind of began talking about God gave gifts for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, not to earn his love, but in response to it. But it's how we're going to grow and minister, and he's going to use us and all. But notice this. He says there's equipping. Now again, back to the football team. They all run onto the field, and they just stand around. And what do you say? What are you guys doing standing around? "We're just admiring our equipment. You like my new uniform? Pretty cool, huh?" Uniforms, equipping isn't to be admired, it's to be used. Right? It's to go for it. Sometimes we can get to admiring the equipping and how, "Oh, this is so cool." Equipping is how we get in the game. It's so we can go out and go for it. Read verse 16 very carefully, believer, because all of our parts are right there. The whole body. See that word, the whole body. The word together. The words every joint. The words every part. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. Over and over again, those words. That's you and me. And you know what? It is such a blessing just to be available and discover where God has for you in the body. I know in my life, when I began to just yield and look for that, and that can change over time. God starts and stops new chapters. But just to be in sync with that, as we discover that, there's such a sense of, we start getting a sense of, well, this is why I was made, to know him and to grow in him and mature in him and to work amongst other believers and all the things. There's such a sense of just awesome discovery to find our part of the body. Don't come short of that. And notice at the very end, this would all be the growing, the building up of ourself in love. You know, back in verse 15, it said we're to speak the truth in love. And in verse 16, it says all this growing is to be in love. It's the word agape. That Greek word that describes God's kind of love. The kind of love that we can't manufacture, we can only receive it and then live in it and pass it on. It's God's unconditional love. Why do I bring that up? Because all of our growing and all of our doing of our share has to be rooted in God's unconditional love. It'll be nothing. So the call, the privilege, what Paul is setting before us, receive his love. Know his love. Share his love. It was never designed to stop at us. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we get ready to wrap it up. If you need a prayer today, there'll be prayer partners back in the corner. Maybe something's heavy on your heart, or just like prayer for anything. I also want to add the altar is available to respond now and worship to the Lord. If you'd like to come up and thank Him for the way He works in your life, maybe there's just something you want. No one's going to bug you up here, but come up and pray if you'd like to come to the altar. In particular, if you'd like to come up and just between you and the Lord, no one's going to know. You might be up here just thanking Him, but maybe it's time for you to come up and say, Lord, I've been a child too long. Lord, I can't say I know You any better than I did a year ago. Not heart know You, not experientially know You. Lord, I want to. Help me grow, Lord. Help me go from a child to an adult. Help me get mature. Maybe some altar time would be, you'd want to do that. That's available for that. For all of us, let's make sure we do just that. Let's grow. All this, it says, grow unto Him. Grow like Him. Mature like Him. That's the path, and that's the goal. Him, His Word, relationship with Him, growing in Him. And then the outworking of that, our part, finding our place in the body, the part that every part, finding our part that we're supposed to supply, doing our share. The end result, it says, it causes growth. How? In love. We need each other. God designed body ministry. That's what church is to be like. And you know what? Let me make sure I say it. I see it a lot around here. Many, many of you, indeed, you're stepping up, you're active. It doesn't have to be limited here. It could be anywhere out there. But I see it, and I thank God for that. And just keep it up, keep it up. But I just want to say this. If you're on the sidelines this morning, God invites you. He calls you. Get in the game. Discover where you are needed, what your part is. You will never regret it. Let's pray. Father, for the way You set things up, for the way You're at work, for this whole thing of saving us, that You might work in and through our lives, that we might discover why we're here. This growing together, Lord, continue that work in our midst. And I would pray if somebody here, Lord, You've touched them, thank You that You do that, Lord. Help them to hear it, that it's Your love, because You've got the best. Work now, we pray. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.